Notice Mark chapter 11, and I'm going to just read one verse in verse number 11, Mark 11, 11. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and into the temple. And when he looked around about upon all things, and now the evening time was come, he went out into Bethany with the 12. I was reading that devotionally some days ago, and I thought that quite strange. Jesus comes into Jerusalem, the city of peace, and he enters into the temple. The Bible says in one place, as this custom was, he would always enter into the synagogues, or in this case, into the temple. And he entered in, and the Bible doesn't say one thing about him teaching or preaching or doing a miracle. If you mark your Bible, look in the middle of this verse, and it says, Jesus entered Jerusalem and into the temple, and when he had looked around, he just stood there and looked around. And then he left and went to Bethany. I wonder what Jesus would see if he entered into Benson Grove Baptist Church this morning when he looked around. Let's bow together for prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would help me. Give me your anointing. Oh, Lord, how I love that song the choir just sang. We need a fresh anointing. We need revival. God, there are people here with hurting hearts. There are people here who are struggling with secret sin. There are people here who are troubled over their finances, their family, their future. And I pray, God, they'd find what they need in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, so many young couples and so many wonderful children, and God, they need guidance. They need the hand of God on them. They're living in a wicked world that's headed for destruction. And God, I pray, God, that you'd just help. Lord, help them to cling to the old time path, to the Word of God. Lord, to grow in the Lord. And Lord, that they teach their children to trust the Lord and look to Him and be saved and then trust Him with all their heart. And God, I pray now for your anointing. Fill me with the Holy Ghost, and I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jerusalem means the city of peace. He came to that city of peace. But then the Bible says that when he left there, he went to a little place called Bethany. When you go through your Bible, you'll find that place of Bethany in several different occasions. It's just certainly just a short distance from Jerusalem. It's probably basically it's the first little village to the east of Jerusalem. But that's where Jesus went. It was kind of like when he was in Jerusalem, that was his headquarters. He stayed there. It's where he went. And when he came, he always lodged there. Back in Matthew in chapter 21 and verse 7, you'll see him in Bethany when he came to Jerusalem. You remember in the Bible, it talks about a man named Simon the leper. He was not a leper anymore because he'd been healed. He's made perfectly whole. But he stayed in Bethany at the house of a man who was called Simon, who was a leper. It was in Bethany, not very far from the Mount of Olives, where Jesus came to Bethany and then went up into the Mount of Olives to pray. It was in Bethany where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived, and where he did the wonderful miracle about resurrecting Lazarus. It was in Bethany, Luke chapter 24 and verse number 50, when Jesus was resurrected and he had showed himself to over 500 brethren and the disciples in those few days of his time on the earth before he went back to the Father. But when he left, when he ascended back to heaven, he left from the little village of Bethany. He left from that place. And what a wonderful place that was for him to resort to. And I just thought it very interesting that he came into the temple that day and he didn't do anything. He just looked. Boy, my heart got thinking. I just suppose we thank God for all the visitors and guests who come, people who come into the house of God. Thank God for you being here today. And I pray that I know he is here by his presence. But if Jesus were to come into this building, what would he see? And I wrote down just a few things that I wondered if Jesus would see. What would he see if he came to Benson Grove Baptist Church today? Would he see real worship? Have we really worshiped him thus far? Have you listened to the songs that you sang? Had they been real to you? Standing on his promises, the songs about grace and mercy and what God did for us, the song the choir sang, Lord, we need a fresh anointing. Have you worshiped him? Last Sunday, I said quite simply, worship is telling him what he's worth. Have you thanked him today for your ability to walk into this building, for the sight that you have, the hearing that you have? Have you just worshiped him for who he is? He's God eternal. Listen to Brother Barry teach this morning. He's a gracious God, merciful God, loving God, but he's also a God of judgment, and he keeps his promises. Have you blessed his name and thanked him today for him taking care of you through this week? Have you thought about that glorious name which is above every name? At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Have you whispered in your heart, Lord, I'm thankful for this place. Thank you for the choir. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for my family. I'm so thankful. I wonder if he came in here, would he still see real worship? He says to that woman at the well, he said he's seeking folk to worship him in spirit and in truth. Set your affections on him. Look to him. And when you enter this building, enter with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, worshiping him and thinking about him. Have you looked around and thought about who's here and who's not here? Have you wondered why somebody's got on what they've got on? Have you just thought about business or thought about problems or even thought about what you're going to do when you leave? But have you for the last few moments focused on him and thought about him and worshiped him and praised him and bowed spiritually at his feet in your heart? Have you done that? I wondered if he entered to our building this morning, would he see real love? The Bible said he shed abroad in our heart the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder if he'd sense love in this building. If he looked at me and looked at you, would he sense love? Would he see your love for him? Would he see your love for the Word of God? Would he see your love for the saints of God? Have you looked around and thought about people, thought about their needs, thought about their burden? The service for Miss Peggy on Saturday was a blessing. On Friday, it was a blessing. God blessed the singing. I mean, it was just awesome. And many commented about Miss Peggy's singing, that she held out on us because she sang so beautifully. And Jana has that voice. I thank God for that. But I wonder, would he sense your love for people who are hurting? I wonder, would he see you with a compassionate heart or see a bunch of people who's just focused on their self, thought about what we need? Have you looked at people you don't know, and have you wanted to know them, love them, and pray for them? I wonder, would he see worship if he entered our building? I wonder if he would see love if he entered our building. I wondered if he would see the Bible alive in the lives of his people if he entered this building. The Word of God teaches us how we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God, how we ought to live. But I wonder, would he see that in our life? Would he see the Word of God being lived out among God's people? Would we come into the house of God and hear it readily? Would we hang on every word that the preacher or the Sunday school teacher had? Would we be asking God to speak to my heart? Would you today, the precious Bible you have in your lap or by your side that you have open today, have you thanked him for the Bible? Thank God for the Bible that you've got. It's alive, it's quick and powerful, and you can read it. You can be blessed by it. I've never ever read the Bible and felt depressed. I've watched TV shows and news and everything else, been around church folks sometime, and you'll get depressed. But if you read the Word of God, it'll bless your heart. Have you thanked him for this word that tells you about heaven and tells you about hell, tells you about one who loved you before the foundation of the world, how he gave his life to die for you on the cross? Have you thanked him for the Word of God today? Have you worshiped him and thanked him for the Bible? Would he look in this place and see people where the Bible's alive? It is a treasure to us, and he knows that we treasure his word. It's precious that you have read it and you've meditate on it, and you've obeyed it. Be doers of the word. Does he know? Can he look at you and tell you that you're doing what the Word of God says, and have you loved it? Would he see gladness in our heart? David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Did you come grudgingly? Did you come out of duty? Did you come because your mama, your daddy made you? Did you come because your wife made you? Did you come just to show up, just to check off that box today? Or did you enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise? Did you enter with gladness? Would he see in my heart, your heart, I'm just glad to be here. Just like Minnie Pearl, I'm proud to be here. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. Are you glad to be here today? Say amen. Amen. Would he look at your heart and see if that would line up with what you just said? Are you glad to be here? Are you glad to be around God's people? Glad to be in the house of the Lord? Had you rather be somewhere? Brother Don Lyon sharing, probably Don more than Sharon, but I got on my desk at the house, little thing. He said, it's better to be fishing and thinking about God than sitting in church and thinking about fishing. But I try to get a balance in that. But you worship him. Can you worship him outside? Sure, he's real. He's everywhere. But he did say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. And so much the more as you see the day approaching, the more you get closer to Jesus coming again, the more you ought to be with God's people. And you ought to be glad. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Would you see a genuine praise? I've emphasized that already. But are you thankful? Have you praised him today for your wife, for your husband, for your family, for anybody around you? Are you thankful? Have you spent these last few moments listening to the choir and thanking God for Brother Brad and the choir? Have you thanked him for the interest in Samaritan's Purse and somebody like Cindy who wants to challenge us to do what we can to get the Word of God around the world? First thing I thought when I saw that fellow holding up that little Hot Wheels car is that what Regina loves to buy them. And we were, a couple years ago, we were looking, and I was looking at the cheaper ones. I said, look, we can buy this many of this kind, this many of this kind. And she said, no, I want them to have a Hot Wheel. And boy, I thought, I know that owner when that thing was made, but I know she bought some look just like that with the label and all on Hot Wheel and something special for them. Listen, did you enter this place this morning to praise him for his servants? Right now, your children are entrusted to some wonderful, precious men and ladies back in children's church. You ought to praise God for that. You ought to praise God for the fact that we've got folk who dedicate themselves to the Awana ministry and to all the other ministries, to our E-team. Oh, listen, this morning, I forgot what Brad said, 71 or so. A couple of Sundays ago, we had 85 that watched it, viewed it all the way through. You multiply that as a general rule by 2.5. And so there's probably a lot more people. And so on average, somewhere well over 500, maybe approaching 600 Sunday, every Sunday, that are involved in our worship services. But it wouldn't be possible were it not for our E-team. We ought to praise the Lord for them and praise the Lord for all he's done to them. But if he looked at us today, he looked more at what was just around. I believe he'd look on our hearts. And I wonder, would he see purity of heart and mind? If you looked on my heart, your heart today, would there be anything in there that ought not to be there? Is there any jealousy there? Is there any, would he see in my heart, in your heart, unforgiving spirit? Would he see a lustful thought? What would he see if he looked in you? If Jesus walked into this building right now, you know he'd look more than just on the outside. He'd look on the inside. He said clearly in the Old Testament, God looks on the heart. If Jesus entered our building today, what would he see if he looked in your heart and my heart? Would he see a clean heart where we don't have a thing between our soul and the Savior? We've got everything is confessed that he's brought to our mind. Every thought, every action, every deed we've confessed. I wonder if he entered our church today, would he see genuine prayer? I mean, would we be folks praying? He gave the parable of the fellow who came in and he stood at the Pharisee and he said, he prayed thus with himself. The Lord, I'm sure, was thinking about times he'd walked into the temple or the synagogue and heard the Pharisees praying. Maybe walked by on the street because the Bible said they loved to stand on the street corners and pray. And their prayers were not genuine. They were not real. Matter of fact, when he gave the Lord's Prayer, he said, be not as the hypocrites are. Don't you be like the scribes and Pharisees. They think they should be heard for their much speaking. You pray genuine. Do you pray, you have genuine prayer in the house of God? When I lead you in prayer or somebody else leads in prayer or Brad prays, do you seek God during those times? Do you say amen to what's prayed? Are you engaged in prayer? Are you focused on the one who can meet every need that you've got? Would he see genuine prayer when he entered into the house of the Lord? I wonder if he came into our house, into this place, would he see proper attire? I don't say much about that, but we come in to see the Lord, come into the King's house. I still believe in Sunday best. I'm old fashioned, I guess, but I still believe in that because I believe he's here. A young preacher up where I preached that the other week, Daniel Bray, something like that was in our discussion, just he and I and our families sitting around talking. Matter of fact, I forgot where we were at. We were eating a little snack or something at the church, but it came up and he said, well, you know what I tell people? He said, I think you ought to wear to church what you'd wear to your best friend's funeral. I thought that was great wisdom from a young man. You ought to wear what you'd wear to your best friend's funeral when you go to the house of God. He's our best friend. He's not dead. He's alive. But I think we ought to worship him. I'm not crazy. There's some people who I know that won't let you on the platform to preach unless you got on a white shirt. I wear white sometimes, but I wear other colors too. There's people that churches that got signs up, if a woman wears pants, she's not allowed on the property. We don't do that. But what I do ask you is this, you consider him. You think about him when you come to his house. I wonder when we come to the house of God, I wonder, does he look on our heart and does he see obedient followers who will be doers of the word and not hearers only? I wonder if he looks in our heart and if the preacher's preaching on repentance, do we intend to really repent? If we preach on service, do we really desire to serve? We preach on giving, are we generous in heart and recognize it all belongs to him and we willingly give as unto the Lord? He loves a cheerful giver. Would he see us as obedient followers that when we leave this building, we're going to live out what we've heard, what we've experienced, and will we be a witness for him? Or does he look at us? I heard of a preacher one time, I'm not that bold, but he started preaching and he's an evangelist and just got into his message good and he closed his Bible. He said, I'm going to the house. He said, half of you are not listening and the other half are not going to do anything about what I say, no way. And he closed his Bible and walked out. Well, that caused them, that got their attention. And for the rest of that meeting, when they came to the house of God, they came with an intent to hear, to get it in their heart and to live it out when they left. I can't tell you what he'd see. I just had those thoughts in mind. I know that's very simple, but I want you to remind you something. He came to that temple and he looked and didn't say a word, but then he left. I tell you what, every time you come in this building, he's here. He's always here. And I don't know what all he does see, but I know some things for sure he does see. He sees every burden and every care. He looks on your heart and he sees every burden you've got, every sorrow you've got, every need you have. And he longs to meet that need. He looks on the heart of every person who's lost and sees that hopeless, helpless feeling you have, that something's missing way down deep inside and you don't know what it is. He looks on the heart of the unregenerated, unsaved person and sees their darkness. And he's the light of the world that can give you light. He can forgive you, forgive all of your sin. He looks on your heart. He looks on your heart of every believer, of every need, every burden, every care. And he's moved with compassion. And he longs for you to long for him. He longs for you to come to him and cast all your cares on him because he can take care of them. Present all your needs to him because he said, I'll meet all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He'll meet every need. He'll lift every burden. He'll lift every care. The Bible said he's near unto all those who have a broken and a contrite heart. If you have a broken heart this morning, he can mend it. Contrite means repentant. If you'll repent, he'll bless you and forgive you. Let's bow our heads together this morning. If Jesus were to come to our church, what would he see? He came in and just looked around and left. Been interested to ask him that day, Lord, what did you see in the house of God? I wish you could say, as we leave here just a few moments, I saw worship at my house today. I saw praise at my house today. I saw genuine prayer at my house today. I saw willing hearts to obey at my house today. I saw people who wanted to be clean, who wanted to be used. While we are praying, there's somebody in this building that could teach a Sunday school class. Tim said it's from 4th to 7th grade. It'll take some time, it'll take some effort. Maybe it ran through your mind, ran through your heart, but you got to thinking about all you've got going on and all you have to do. And you said, Lord, I don't know if I got time to do it or not. I was talking to a fellow the other day about a business matter, and he said he had hired this guy for a lot of jobs. And the guy said, well, I'm going to get to it, but I'm really, really busy. And he said, well, I can fix it where you won't be quite so busy. I can just take away some of your jobs from you. I wonder if we made excuses for Jesus for not serving him. If he was to tell us, I can take away some of your excuses for not loving me and not serving me like you ought to. If Jesus came in this building, more especially today, if he was to look straight at you, what would he see? Our Heavenly Father, there's nothing hid from you. I'm glad, God, you know us if we genuinely came to worship, and if we worshiped you, if we prayed from our heart, if we worshiped you, if we've served you, if we have a love for God's people or not, if we have a burden of concern for those who have needs around us, are we willing to obey the Word of God? You know all of that. Lord, I'm also glad that you look on our hearts where I can't see it. So many people put on the front, they smile and say everything's fine. But you see their heart. You know they're carrying a burden that nobody else could share right now. You know they've got a desire, a burden, a care, or a need that you're the only one who can meet that need. And I pray, God, this morning that, God, that they'll cast all their cares on you, that they'll look to you and trust you. God, I'm sure glad that, God, you do know our hearts. Lord, we're weak in the flesh. We fail you so often. But God, you know those who genuinely do love you and who want to do right. And God, I pray that, Lord, you'd speak to their hearts and bless them. God, I pray that we'd be mindful of your presence when we enter the house of the Lord. And God, help us to worship you. God, I pray now that you'd help people to be obedient to the Word of God. There's some you spoke to, and Lord, they need to come to this altar and just lay every burden, every care at your feet. They've got needs. God, you promised to meet their need with. Lord, you burden them to come and lay that need before you and then to thank you for meeting that need before they get up and go back to their seat. Lord, there's some here who have things in their heart that ought not to be there. You've seen it already. And God, Holy Ghost of God's put his finger on it. You said, Lord, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just, forgive us and to cleanse us. And God, you'd cleanse them right now if they just confess it, get honest with you, leave here clean, fresh, full of the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, most of all, you've looked at every heart and you know who's really saved or not. Lord, you love them. You want to save them. You've already paid the sin debt for them. You have no pleasure in the death of the ungodly. You're not willing that any should perish. And God, I pray they would be aware of that now. They'd step to the nearest aisle and come this morning and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray you do it now for your glory. God, speak to hearts.